Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 137 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility. And today, another snippet from Brighton SEO. This one is entitled, How I Learned to Stop Worrying About Google Algorithms and Love the People. And it's by James Carson. Enjoy.
Questions. Now, first up, we've got James Carson, who works for a company called Bower, not eMap. I always make that mistake because I used to work there a few years ago. And he works on some amazing websites that all of you will know and be very, very familiar with. He's going to be talking about... In fact, I'll let him tell you what he's talking about because I'll just steal his thunder otherwise. So over to James.
Round of applause, yeah. So, thanks. So, the presentation is called Dr. Social Love, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying About Google Algorithms and Love the People. Now, a bit of a strange title, and I haven't just called it that because I love the Stanley Kubrick film, but because I feel in SEO, we spend a bit too much time worrying about minor factors that sort of may affect the Google algorithm, but don't necessarily. You know, I don't want people waking up in a cold sweat because the H2 tag is not a H1, for instance. So instead of that, I've found a lot more traction on building a people network and fostering a community with the brands that I work with. So I work for a company called Bower Media, as Calvin said. We're the largest privately owned publisher in Europe. So we own all of those titles up there. I'm always up for linkage from those titles. If you have a product that's right for us, we can do PR pieces and have links and, you know, just talk to me in the bar if you think your product's a good fit for our audience. I also run a blog called jamescarson.co.uk/social search. And on this slide deck, there's a little link through to a post describing that slide in a lot more detail. So not just a post about the entire slide deck, a post per slide. So away we go. So there's some really important factors this year in the humanization of search results. So I just want to get a show of hands. We've seen earlier a negative effect of Google Panda, but who else has been negatively affected or has a client that's been negatively affected by Panda? Right, so quite a few. And who's been positively affected by Panda? Yeah, so... What I've noticed is the sites that are low quality, sort of there's content similar to that on the internet, they've been affected. There's only one of our portfolio. But the one that's really benefited is FHM.com. And FHM.com provides a huge amount of original content within its niche, which is men's lifestyle, obviously, and you know girls in lingerie and that sort of thing. But it happened for quite a long time that US sites, a huge community, would just take magazine scans, put them on their websites and build links to them because it's quite good content and manage to rank higher than us on certain celebrity keywords. And I think that's quite ridiculous. And I think Google Panda goes some way in attributing us as the original content creator. And thus, we've seen a benefit in the last update, which is nice. And also, we've got another important development, I think, is Google authorship. And we've seen, you know, authors appearing in search results lately. And this is an important update for us because, you know, content farms and the demand media model creates a huge wide breadth of content that pretty much games long-tail queries. And I think that devalues journalism, online journalism particularly, isn't very sustainable pre-Panda. And what's happened is there's now more value in having an authorship profile which is accredited over the long term. Now, a third factor is the social buttons, of course. And, you know, at the minute, we're not quite sure how much they contribute as a ranking factor. Certainly Google Plus probably will. Facebook Lite, there's some debate over it. But I actually think it's sort of wrong to look at these in the context of them forcing Google rankings. So it's better to see them as social signals. So sharing on the social networks that they're associated with. So obviously Facebook Lite on the newsfeed. But overall, it's best to think of them as people signals. Because no more do I have to be a website owner to accredit a web document. Anyone who has a social profile can now accredit a web document. And I think that's, you know, democratization of search results. And if that does affect it, you know, there's democratization there. And there's two naked people if you've forgotten what they look like. So here's Facebook-like is a ranking factor. This debatable point, anyone who went to SMX might have seen Marcus Taylor from SE Optimize pretty much conclude through a data source that it didn't affect Google search results. But I should just think, meh. Who cares? Like, it doesn't affect Google? Big deal. Like, Facebook-like is so that it's shared on Facebook. It's not necessarily about Google. That's sort of just an added bonus at the minute. And there's, you know, some people think that Facebook's not for them, and I actually think you're wrong. Like, if you've got a brand and you don't think Facebook is for you, then just look at Compare the Meerkat, because Compare the Market is just a price comparison website, and they've now got a million fans following a meerkat that, although it does a lot of branding for them and doesn't necessarily sell stuff, you know, the next time I go and search for my car insurance, I'm probably going to search for that meerkat. So there's just a few things on why I think everyone really needs to care about social sharing. And these statistics were actually taken last autumn, so I think they've gone up quite a lot, and there's been no real research into it since, so we're probably due some. But first off, 42% of social network users get news through social networking sites. Then 43% of news sharing occurs via social networks. Then finally, 44% of all online sharing, so you think email, SMS, instant messenger, and all the social networks put together, Facebook is 44% of that share, and that was in December 2010. So it's probably going to be larger at the minute. So we talked a bit about sharing content and why that's important. I'm not going to talk about what is shareable content, because there's tons of blogs out there about that kind of thing, and the last presentation described that a little bit. So I want to talk about your Facebook posting strategy and how you actually rank on the top of the newsfeed. And why that's important, because, you know, much like the Google search results, people are more likely to click your links, they're more likely to engage and comment on that, and when they click your links, actually, they'll go through to your site and they're more likely to share stuff as well, because they're in sort of Facebook mode. So how do we do that? Well, Facebook runs on an algorithm called EdgeRank. And by default, it's top news on a desktop device. On a mobile device, it's most recent, and EdgeRank doesn't really work. It's all about the most recent post will be at the top. But on a desktop, which is still the most widely used, EdgeRank is what drives the rankings. So in the bottom left-hand corner there, we have this thing called engagement. So if you take the middle triangle there, that's the object, that's the newsfeed post. The engagements on it, which are comments, likes, and shares, that actually drives you up the search results, the ranking Facebook newsfeed. And then there's a personalization factor in there called affinity. So this is about friend interaction. If my friend interacts with that post and they comment or like or share it, then it's more relevant to me, so it appears higher up on my newsfeed. And then there's this third point, time decay, which is pretty self-explanatory, really. You don't see posts that are 5 days old on the Facebook newsfeed. But I think with that algorithm, whatever. Just aim for post feedback, because that's the only one you can really do. And there is a method that you could aim and engage and drive comments and likes. And here it is. So This is actually taken from a white paper from Buddy Media, which is a large provider of social applications. And they found with their clients that posts that applied any of these criteria would generally perform much better than posts that didn't include it. But I looked at it and thought, actually, you could have posts that include five of these. So every time you have five, you know, your engagement goes much up, way up. And I think number 10 particularly, be explicit in your posts and tell people what you want them to do, like this, if da-da-da-da, or comment on this, is really important. But the golden rule, of course, give people content that they are most interested in. So it's all very well, as on FHM, sort of posting about some D-list celebrity, but we're going to get way more engagement if it's a picture of Megan Fox in her lingerie, to be quite frank. So we talked about sharing and we talked about posting there. Now, this is a bit of a cliche in social media, I suppose, but your fans plus your fans' fans equals sharing success, or it should be your fans plus your fans' friends. Now, it's rather easier to build an influence network on Twitter by using things like Clout and Peer Index, but spend a day researching your targets using these tools, and you could use Follower Wonk as well. And you really need to look in your niche, if you've got a Twitter profile, of who the influencers are, use Clout, and, you know, mark them down into an A list, a B list, a C list, and the people that you want to build content for, that they'll share it. But then I found it's rather more difficult to do that, like, on a personal level within Facebook, because people don't really share stuff around, like, work or that sort of content. So I looked a bit further and found that you can actually align yourself to larger Facebook pages. So celebrities or larger brands or, you know, maybe an agency or something like that. But you can often find out who's behind these pages through a PR network. And if you know people in PR, absolutely have a conversation with them about what Facebook pages they're running. And if it works for your vertical, then, you know, you could perhaps make content for that page that they might share. And you can also use a database called Gorkana, which is connects journalists with PR agencies. So it's free to use. But there is a subscription there as well. So if you want to get really into it, then you probably have to pay. Now, anyone know who this is? Nope. Well, it's actually Will's mum from The Inbetweeners. And this is a case study of how we got all this, you know, sharing, posting, and networking all together. So we shot Belinda Stewart-Wilson, who's Will's mum, for FHM last September. And at that time,
a lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We weren't really doing that much on social media. We were relaunching the website, so we left it on the sort of back burner. But then in the spring, like March and April time, it's coming up to the 100 Sexiest Women issue, which is like our biggest selling issue. So we thought, you know, we can do something here to push this a bit harder. So we saw on Facebook that the Inbetweeners page actually has 3 million people like this. So we got in contact through our media contacts with the guy who was running this page. It's actually a PR agency. And we said to him, can you get your users to vote for Belinda Stuart Wilson in the 100 Sexiest Women contest. And here's the link. And, you know, it's good content for him. It's really relevant to his audience. And as a consequence, you know, if she won the 100 Sexiest Women, that's not just PR in our media. Like, a lot of media reports on that. So that's a huge, huge spread, potentially, of, you know, engagement. So here are the results. He just sent one link to our profile. Oh, Will's mum, that was a good day. So we had 7,000 likes. So that page was shared 7,000 times. And it's estimated that, you know, we had about 1 million newsfeed impressions, if you think that the average Facebook person has 140 connections. And then we had 60 tweets as a sort of byproduct. And it's worth looking into this because people in Facebook mode and they're connected to the Facebook API, they're way more likely to share on Facebook when they're pushed from Facebook. And it's the same per network. And then we got a number two ranking on Google. So, you know, the points around Facebook like isn't a ranking factor, I sort of think are a bit dubious, to be honest. And then overall, we got 35,000 UK referrals in one day from this page. And I've called this phenomenon social spurting because, or you could call it, basically, you have an analytics graph and it's sort of flat or going down if you're hit by Google Panda, but then you'll have this big spurt. Or you could call it tent polling or something else that's quite rude. But basically, social spurt, I'm number one on Google for that keyword, so search for it. There's a little guide to it. So with that in mind, we've talked about that example, but I think that social media, if you have good brands and you've got a lot of connections, you can really work it to build all traffic sources and build community content. So here goes with a little model. So if you have a social profile and you build that by competitions, advertisements like Facebook social stories or promoted tweets, and you know you use the engagement metrics as suggestions by Buddy Media, then you'll grow to a larger social profile. Now, what does that mean? Well, in media, this stage is probably about 10,000 likes, but this is a media vertical. Remember, we're national magazines. In your particular vertical, it could be much smaller. And really, I think the definition is when you can meaningfully have conversations with your social media fans, capture data and poll them so you can publish that data back to your destination website or create infographics, whatever you want to do. So there's that stage. But then continue to grow it to an even larger social profile. So in media, I'd say this stage is about 50,000. Obviously, it changes from vertical to vertical. And you could continue to do the data capture and polling, but just be warned at this point, you are more likely to get a lot of pond life in your community that really have conversations with you that don't make a lot of sense, or there's a lot of spelling mistakes in what they say, and it's not really that useful. But still, at that stage, you can start sending good amounts of referral traffic back to your website. So on Heatworld, we have 200,000 Twitter followers. That now sends between 15 and 20% of all traffic back to Heatworld on a monthly basis. So that's a really good traffic source. It's no Google, but it's better than Bing and Facebook put together. And then here's the clever bit, I think, if I do say so myself. If you have a sort of network of blogs, then you can actually send them a social spurt. So you send them large amounts of traffic because you've got this equity of a large social media profile. And then in exchange for that, you can have a conversation that they build you one-way links. Because obviously, a social media link isn't a reciprocal link back to your website. So you can build one-way links through this method. So you want to become so large that you can send people social spurts and then they'll refer you and send you links. So that's the model. And so you've got referral traffic, SEO through the link building, and then finally, you've got direct traffic because you've got a larger social media footprint and you're up on natural search as well. So you're likely to have better direct traffic and branded search. So then, in terms of a network, you've got to build your fans and followers, use Facebook social stories, which are really cheap at the moment, contests and engagement with the Buddy Media suggestions, and then poll and ask fans questions, take that insight, and then create content. And then, additionally, build your influence network. Use Clout, Peer Index, Follower Wonk, and Gorkana to create content that's relevant for your influencers to share and ask them to share it. And really, links come naturally via this process. So really, I think that's the SEO social nutshell as it is at the minute. Fix your site, but don't worry too much about it technically. You know, I probably should make an image sitemap, but it's not going to make as much difference as fostering this community. And when I have a finite amount of time, I really want to love my people, build a community, and do inbound marketing rather than worrying about minor technical changes. So that's that.
I'm looking for hands in the air. Any around here? I've got my first question. So talking about the EdgeRank algorithm, and there's a lot of discussion and it's starting to build some momentum, people kind of talking about what they believe that to be. What do you think is the most common misconception about that algorithm? Probably a misconception that I've made.
I believe that was a misconception around weight, but I can't remember
just wondering if you think there's mistakes that people are making generally about how they...
Well, I think that weight... in reference to yours, I can't remember exactly what the mistake was, but weight is really about the likes, the comments on that particular post, and then when someone goes through that link, if they share that link as well. So that affects that link's performance on the open graph, and it goes up on the Facebook newsfeed.
Fantastic. I've got a question down the front here. I should point out it is hilarious when people go from corner to corner of the room, so if anyone up in the top corner up there wants to have a question...
Hi, good presentation, thank you. I'd like to ask, obviously, you know, with all your magazines, you've got a huge amount of weight that you can, you know, and Will's mum, you know, great, you can use her, so to speak. When third-party agencies come to you with ideas, and I'm sure there's millions of social agencies, you know, or people coming in with ideas and saying, we'd like to do this, we'd like to do that. Do many of those ideas carry any weight? Because they don't necessarily, when agencies come in, carry the same kind of weight that you've got when you've got all your magazines. So you can work around your magazines, but an independent has a lot of problems building up that kind of social equity. And does that make it harder for agencies?
It does, and I think before you get to this kind of model, you've got to focus on, you know, building your brand and building your social footprint. If you look at people like Gary Vaynerchuk from Wine Library TV, you know, he didn't have a personal brand a couple of years ago, and he started Wine Library TV, and now he's got 500,000 Twitter followers, a huge video show, and things like that, and he's just basically turned into a wine critic. So really, I think if you can't work on this model, then you need to ask some serious questions about your brand. And think about, you know, is your creative right? Is your content right around that creative? And how are you distributing it? And have that plan first. And then I think by using social stories and having an engaged community, you can build it up. And actually, we don't work with any agencies at all. So it's all in-house stuff. It comes from editors and journalists themselves.
Fantastic. Any more questions? Oh, two. Okay, let's try and work out the best way across. Don't mind me just standing on your MacBook. There we go.
Cheers. Thanks, mate. I can't help but asking this because of the fact that there's the MLB sign behind you there. But are there any kind of potentially shortcuts that you'd advise or maybe that you've used for building up your social profile in terms of fans and likes and things like that?
I don't really like that idea of shortcutting. I think you really have to be very genuine in the social space to really make it work. And I think it's about, you know, if you've got a distinct voice and a personality, then you really stand out and acquire those likes. I think probably the best shortcut to me is to use Facebook social stories because it's so cheap for fan acquisition at the minute. You know, the more that advertisers get involved with the Facebook platform, the bid rates are going to go up. So at the minute, we're acquiring fans on a kind of 15 pence basis. You know, they're going to have a lot of long-term value. So I think that's really cheap. And if you've got money to spend, then that's probably the best way and the best shortcut, I'd say. But it's really about being quite genuine in the community space.
Fantastic. We had another question over here. Sorry.
Hi. I've got a question about the use of the authorship tags, because obviously if people have commented it, you can steal the content and just fake the authorship tag to somewhere else. So what happens if Jason Calacanis nicks your content, changes the author tag to point to another profile?
I don't know. It's a simple question, but I don't know, to be honest with that. I think over the long term, you would be found out and busted, so I would never advise that. I think it's sort
so
of like...
So you're actually putting on author tags now?
Oh, we will be, yeah. I mean, we're not right now, but we have the setup to allow it, so why not? And I think it's worthwhile.
Fantastic. So if we could have a round of applause for James there.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.